Okay, and we're back, hour number three, and it's over. The debate season is now over, and we've had three of them, if you can call them debates. We've talked about them a bit tonight. We have Joel Skousen back with us right now to give us his views on what he saw tonight. Hello, Joel. Welcome back.
Thank you, Jeff. It's good to be with you.
Thank you.
Debate and election night analysis.
Yeah. Well, we always appreciate your steady hand and an honest overview of it. It's tough to get. Everybody seems to skew things. You don't. This one, what do you think?
Well, I have to say, Jeff, that I was very, very disappointed. Hillary spent the last 3 days off the campaign trail.
Yeah.
Memorizing, and it showed. She had, even though they were pat answers, they were, you know.
We've heard them all before, but yeah.
But they were very, very, you know, just right down the line. Boy, she was prepared to the nth degree, and I only heard, except for two exceptions, the same things I heard in the first two debates. He showed no preparation whatsoever, and it worries me tremendously how you get this close to the presidential election and you're still giving the same pat answers.
Was it a question of Donald Trump being so overloaded with material that everyone told him, be sure to include this, be sure to say that, be sure to, that it just gets to a point where he's been on the campaign trail for a year and a half. He has withstood enormous abuse. Is it just an issue of too much on one human being to be able to be perfect, to pull out of his mental briefcase every little thing that needs to be plugged in? I mean,
well,
that's tough.
You know, you might say that if he had shown any degree of learning or preparation, but there was nothing. Except for a couple of new issues that he did bring up, which he did remember to bring up, and it was an important one. It was about the videos on Veritas Action showing
right.
insiders within the Clinton administration admitting that
they say you caused the violence. You did it.
Now,
yeah.
And unfortunately, Chris Wallace failed to pick up on that in the sense of he should have gone directly to, did your campaign pay people? He should have put it right on the spot about that accusation. Now, he did. I thought that Wallace actually, of all the debate moderators, was the most balanced. He actually did some research. He did pick up some of the things, and he pointed at him. And when she didn't give an answer on the pay and play, which was a dramatic, very pointed question with the evidence, and she skated, he tried to bring her back. She wouldn't go there, but at least he tried to bring her back once. You know, he could have been tougher, but at least he came across balanced, and
I concur. Of all the moderators, I'd have to give him the best marks, except Matt Lauer. Lauer was pretty tough.
Oh, terrible. You know, how many times did we hear Hillary Clinton bring up the wealthy paying their fair share, and Donald Trump failed to capitalize? Failed to, just inexcusable not to interject and say, wait a minute, the wealthy 20% are already paying 84% of the taxes. Why is that not their fair share, Hillary? I mean, incredible missed opportunity, but there were dozens of these things, whether it was the minimum wage, you know, her economic problems and the taxing the wealthy, and you know, he just didn't have any specific answers. I mean, the most rudimentary preparation for moves.
Is he tired, Joel? Is he tired?
No, I think he has no patience for memorization and discipline. I just believe that now.
He loves to freewheel
it. I've given him the benefit of the doubt for so long, but, you know, I would worry when a person can't remember and can't learn the most basic arguments to do. I mean, how would you run the presidency? How would you remember to speak coherently on a particular...
Well, he'd have a teleprompter, you know. That's the way they do it now. They're all prompted.
Yeah.
So they all sound like they know what they're doing.
It makes me realize, though, that he would be a slave to his speechwriters and his other analysts.
Obama certainly fits that ticket. We've seen his speechwriters,
There is no question. I am not saying that in any way that Hillary Clinton is preferable to Trump or that Obama or any of these people. But I'm worried, you know, that you run into the presidency and you've really got to show, preparation. You've got to be able to say and speak very directly.
He did much more in the last debate, the town hall type, where he was able to walk around, and I think it helped him collect his thoughts. I don't know what to think at this point. I do know that we are finished if we let that woman in. There's no question about it.
There's no question about that, Jeff. We will never win another election ever again because
never
flood the voting rolls. I mean, he didn't even have the basic preparation to really back up the, you know, the rigged election type of thing.
Why didn't he say, you know, I mean, it's easy for me to do this, but 4 million already dead people and illegals by several accounts have been registered to vote. That's outrageous.
He just doesn't have the numbers. He did bring up the fact that there were millions that have been on the rolls that, you know, shouldn't be on the rolls, but it just wasn't specific enough. He didn't bring up electronic voting fraud. He should have brought up the very, I mean, where is his campaign staff giving him the background? It's all over the net about the Chicago primaries and things, how there was an audit done. It's a mandatory audit by
Correct.
The, and they changed the results rather than admit that there was vote fraud, that the computers were flipping votes. They were making votes disappear, and computers aren't supposed to do that, and they would just simply adjust the totals rather than come up with an audit that the electronic voting machine is fraudulent. I mean, that was would have been a powerful thing to talk about. He just wasn't prepared to issue any of the statements, as I say, whether it was immigration. Now, on the Supreme Court, he did come across, and I have to say, he did say, one of them have Supreme Court justices that are going to interpret the Foundation or the Constitution according to the Founding Fathers, and that's what his constituency wants to hear. Whether or not he really understands that, I don't know. You know, he waffled about Roe versus Wade, and he let Hillary Clinton get away with this typical liberal jarline, helping women make choices, and he should have come back and said, what, make choices about taking away somebody else's life? That is the position of government. It isn't that once you've had sexual relationships, you have to be bound by the consequences. You can't simply kill the consequences.
Well, he did make the point. Are you saying, Hillary, that on the last day?
No, he did.
And he said that, you know, I will never accept
that. The point is,
he
should have defended the abortion ban in the sense that, look, we're not talking about a women's choice. We're talking about killing is the women's choice. And government has the right. He should have stated that over a government has the right to protect life.
Good point.
And this is a different human life. But these basic responses that could have shattered these major generalizations. I mean, she went on and on about promising every benefit in the world to people. It was all about benefits. You could have been said, this is what is leading to the crisis of entitlements. As Chris said, we have 50% of our budget is on entitlements because you keep promising people, everybody, benefits. And we've got to realize that people cannot expect to have benefits paid out of tax money indefinitely. Well, there's just so many missed opportunities where, you know, I'm sitting here cataloging and countering everything I hear Hillary saying, waiting for Donald Trump to come up with an answer, and he just showed no preparation. And now, I don't know how much of it is according to the team. I mean, look, they're obviously getting some information from the net about the emails.
They're getting a lot.
Why aren't they getting? I mean, what I published in the World Affairs Brief about Aleppo was a great missed opportunity when they talk about the humanitarian crisis. He could have put out, says, remember, the rebels in the pocket of Aleppo are not letting the civilians leave.
Right.
If the U.S. was serious about stopping this humanitarian, they would stay.
He didn't say it. They're all being held captive. They're human hostages.
Right. They're captive, and that's why these hospitals are in secret. And they shoot, you know, from these hospital areas to make sure they lure the bombing in. And then they say, a humanitarian crisis.
Right.
I mean, just so many missed opportunities that could have been made. And so I'm really discouraged at this point, Jeff, that I don't think he came up with anything new that would give people...
I don't think either one of them came up with anything new. It was just the presentation. She seemed almost bulletproof.
Overprepared, yeah. It was overprepared.
With everything.
It was so standard. It was so pat. I mean, even the NPR comment, even David Brooks of the New York Times just had to shake his head and said, you know, I just didn't hear one original thing out of Clinton's mouth the whole night, you know.
No, of course not.
And he was right, but even for a liberal commentator, you know, the New York Times to say that, you know, they tried to beef up, you know, Hillary Clinton's clear winner. He says, no, I'm not so sure. I mean, clearly she was better prepared, but her remarks really fell flat. They were standardized. They were almost...
Right. I agree. I completely agree. I don't... I thought that her Middle East issue was deceitful, deplorable. She said, no, we shouldn't have troops on the ground. Well, she didn't say anything about the Air Force issue, the no-fly zone. She's going to shoot down Russian planes.
5,000 troops on the ground right now. 5,000.
At least. So, and this whole idea...
The most disingenuous of everything was her Second Amendment stuff. Trying to say, I am supporting the Second Amendment, and I believe it's an individual.
Gross lies. Gross lies.
She was just lying through her teeth on that. And, you know, even though Trump got back a little bit on her, I mean, to let her stand with those kinds of statements, you know, we're going to have a little regulation. He didn't have any good counters to the Hiller case in Washington, D.C. It wasn't to protect the children. It was an outright gun ban.
I don't understand.
It wasn't a law. Hiller wasn't about the law to have safety locks on guns.
Right.
It was an absolute gun ban. You couldn't own a gun.
That's right.
You couldn't get a permit. And, I mean, to not be able to come back to that and embarrass her, I mean, these were major, major flaws. I mean, even if he had been briefed on these things, Trump's quick enough that he could have remembered that even if he hadn't memorized the answer. He was, that's that error. And, well, as I say, I'm just really afraid that because he didn't show anything new, there was no change made. Everybody in Hillary still...
I don't think the polls are going to move either way. I think this was another exercise in the same old, same old. Sad to say, but that's the way it looked. I think because so much of her delivery they were gratuitous attacks on Trump. One word or one sentence or more. Everything was an attack. Not everything, but most everything was an attack. They're just ad hominem attacks. I don't think people like that. I don't think people like her smirk. When I think back, Joel, I cannot tell you of anything that she said that was really substantive enough to make me even remember it. It's the same old crap. They're just platitudes for the most part.
Yeah, they are liberal generalizations that you have to counter with specifics. And growing the economy, you know, doing stimulus and things, and then not raising, you know, any deficit. All these promises could have been torn apart, you know, easily, especially this education thing. Free education, you know, for everyone, you know, making less than that, about 99% of everybody making less than $250,000 a year.
Right.
I mean, extremely costly, and that's exactly why college costs are rising so much, is because of this government access to loans, student loans that people had to pay.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like insurance. Insurance induces everyone to raise the price because there's no resistance to the price. Well, the insurance is paying for it.
Mm-hmm.
That's how prices get higher. And, you know, nobody counters those arguments or with those arguments as they should. One of the things that I was also disappointed in when they brought up the Russian issue.
Oh,
17 national security people have said it, and Trump was not prepared for this. Even though he was, you know, saying, I don't believe it, and then all of a sudden they come out and say, he doesn't believe in 17 national security organizations.
Right.
It's hard to find out if there's 17, but the point is, he should have been prepared to say the government has made these statements. They have not given one iota of proof and I know something about hacking, he should have said, and I'll tell you, you know, you can't tell where it's from. You can tell a pattern. This appears to be something that came, what we think came out of it, but that's the closest you're going to get. Hackers can imitate any kind of attack from any person, anywhere, at any time, and they can go through nodes in Eastern Europe to get to you. I mean, look, you can't make any definitive statements like that. And if he'd come out and made a counter like that, people would have said, oh, yeah, you know, he's got a point there. They really, you know.
Nobody
let's
learned.
See, let's see the proof. Let's not just say everyone parroting, it's the Russians as well. Let's see some evidence.
Well, Chris Wallace asked her directly, will you shoot down Russian aircraft? She didn't answer.
Yeah.
No answer.
Yeah.
Stepped right around that like it was a big pile of dog poop.
Yeah.
No. The answer was yes, but she didn't say it.
Well, that's what a no-fly zone is.
Yes.
And, of course, she's implying this is for the safety of, we're going to have certain safe areas that are being no-fly zone. Of course, that's where you protect your rebel fighters as well.
You bet.
As then he said, you know, if a Russian jet decides to violate it, you're going to shoot it down and... And what are you going to do about, you know, Russian S-300s and S-400s, you know, glaringly threatening, you know, U.S. aircraft there? And they're reluctant to use them because the Russians don't want to start a war yet. They're not ready for it. But it's interesting that the U.S. did back down when the Russians said, yeah, we've got the missiles here and you're not to attack the Syrian army again or there will be consequences. The U.S.
Putin is also committed to helping... the Donbass, the Luhansk People's Republic, and the Donetsk People's Republic, if they were to be overrun by the Kiev military, which is 130,000, I believe, on the front line, and the DPR, Dugansk, the Donetsk People's Republic, has about 70,000. So it would be a big war, but the Russians have made it clear they will not allow the East to be conquered by Kiev. So that could bleed the Russians, take a lot of strength and energy away from them if they had to go in there.
Well, it could. Of course, there are, you know, the Russians are funding all of those so-called rebels, and there's a lot of Russian soldiers in there as well, out of uniform. But, you know, as you know my opinion on that, I don't think the government of Kiev is trying to win the war. I think they're just they're simply there to
well, it's like poking
make the
a
Ukraine
stick.
Government look inept and to gain... disapproval from their people, and they're doing a great job of that.
Right, right. So she didn't answer the question, will you shoot down? Trump made it clear, I guess Wallace did too, that the one general said, if you shoot down Russian aircraft, it means war. And she sidestepped that.
Yes, she did. And, of course, she, you know, her major sidestepping.
See, that to me is a huge thing. I've been watching and listening to Putin's speeches. It seems like he's not playing games. He's not going to tolerate it. He had that big exercise with 40 million people put into shelters for 3 days.
Actually, that wasn't 40 million people.
How many was it? Do you know?
Well, they were only counting the total populations involved, the city populations involved in the exercise, but only a few thousand went into shelters. They don't have shelters for 40 million people. I mean, this is the typical hype that we heard all over the internet. You know, this has got to be preparation for war because 40 million people going into,
I read that as a fact.
Russians exaggerate like everyone else.
Yeah.
They are preparing, you know, and the U.S. isn't preparing anything. FEMA says nothing about nuclear preparedness to the United States, but they don't want them prepared. They want them held hostage when they have a nuclear war.
I told our listeners, go out and try and find the nearest shelter that the government has built for you. You are expendable, ladies and gentlemen, period.
And all they can do is make fun of duck and cover. Of course, duck and cover was a stupid thing anyway. But
of course it was. Get under your school desk and duck and cover. good luck. Okay. On the economy and jobs, I don't know. People didn't seem to notice, and the answer was very nebulous. The question should have been, I guess it was in a way, Hillary, where are these jobs going to come from? We're going to tax the rich. The rich have always been the engine by which jobs are created, businesses are created. You can't just tax the rich. Anybody who makes $250,000 or less won't be taxed, she said. We're going to tax just the rich. And what is the rate now for the rich? The incentive is not there to start businesses.
Well, and that's the failure. He failed to counter on the fact that we're going to make corporations and the wealthy pay for this instead. And he could have come back immediately. You see, it's this raising taxes on corporations
that caused
them to go to Mexico and to go elsewhere.
Yeah.
If that's what I'm talking about. And that's why, you know, even if you didn't do my tax cut, you can't be taxing the rich and the corporations lest you drive jobs offshore and you drive money offshore. That's why the rich take their money into tax havens.
How does she...
Because of your tax the rich policies.
How does she think, or has she ever even said, how she's going to bring these American companies back here? Has she ever even approached that?
She hasn't approached. You know, Trump has said that I'm going to bring, you know, tons of money, you know, back here.
Right.
And I think you could if you had a proper tax structure. I think you could.
I think so.
Oh, yes, absolutely. You make this a tax haven. I mean, half a dozen other countries in the world make themselves tax havens by low taxing.
Right.
And you could do the same thing, and all of a sudden you'd have money flowing in from all over the world to invest in America if you had a low tax rate.
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't tax, you know, capital gains very much and other things. I mean, that's what you do to attract capital. That's what every one of these tax havens do. They don't tax capital, and they don't tax, foreign income and other things.
Right.
So there's a lot that could be done.
All right. Now, WikiLeaks dumped another load of Podesta emails after Julian Assange had his internet connection shut off by the Ecuadorian embassy itself under orders from Ecuador, obviously pressure by the U.S.
Question,
we've got to take a break here. The question when we come back is, what do you think the current status of Julian Assange is? This is turning into a real mystery. He may be dead. He may be, some people say, a coma. He may have been abducted from the embassy. He may not be there anymore. All he'd have to do would be to walk to the window and wave out the window to end this mystery. He's not, which suggests that he might not be there. Now, do they have a dead man switch protocol where all the documents that are supposed to be leaked will be dumped if anything happens to him? That's the word. All right, we'll come back in a minute with Joel and talk a little bit about WikiLeaks next. Okay, back with Joel, talking about the final debate. Time goes so fast, it's really remarkable. Julian Assange, your analysis so far of these, must be 10, 12 almost, Podesta email drops. Now, two of the, I'll call them political hitmen, had to resign today that were involved in apparently recruiting troublemakers, violence perps for the Trump rallies. Two of the big guys had to quit because of that film. You know about the film.
Yes, right.
And it's James O'Keefe's film. It's two parts out.
Right.
It's quite a powerful expose. Everything that comes along that exposes the Clinton crime syndicate seems to bounce right off of it. It just doesn't seem to stick. Maybe it's because there's too much. I don't know. But any one of dozens of different things in years past would have been enough to take her out of the race. Any one of dozens of things. But they don't seem to have any legs. All right, let me go to Julian Assange. What do you think?
Let me just comment on that before we talk.
Yeah, go ahead.
There's two factors there. One is that every one of these emails takes some analysis. Donald Trump's tape on Access Hollywood didn't take any analysis.
No, it didn't.
There's a shock effect, you know, just from hearing his words, okay?
Sure. Yeah.
But every one of these takes a thinking analysis. So in the first place, this puts them at a disadvantage. Number two, as you mentioned, there's a lot of them. too many of them, especially when each one of them requires it. And then trying to think, now, which one was that, and what was the reason that that was bad?
Yeah.
It's kind of a mind twin. And the third thing is that, look, the media, if this were a Trump thing, would pick out two or three of the worst, and they would make a drumbeat out of it every day on the news. They would repeat it and repeat it so that people remembered. That's what's missing about Hillary Clinton. They'll mention them. Well, they really don't mention them hardly. They mention them in general, the WikiLeaks or the Podesta email, but they don't talk about the specifics.
No.
They don't go into an analysis people understand why this represents collusion. They expect that people already know about it, but they don't because of those other factors that I mentioned.
Mm-hmm. Okay, on balance, how much damage to the Clinton campaign by WikiLeaks? Given the fact that there's a complicit media to keep them all hidden, I guess.
I would say, you know, the damage is only in the eyes of those that are already anti-Hillary. I don't think I know of anybody who's neutral or pro-Hillary that's even read through them or has the interest to read through them.
They don't need any more convincing. Yeah, this. Let me also just throw this one at you. Compare the WikiLeaks email with Watergate. A one-off deal. Richard Nixon. This to me is monumentally more complex, sophisticated, revealing, and dangerous, damaging. These are some amazing things we're finding out about the inner workings of how these campaigns actually function.
Well, of course, as Richard Nixon could have defended himself. I mean, the Democrats are spying on us, and we're spying on them. Instead of denying it, he said everybody spies on each other. And it would have gone away.
That's a good point, yeah.
But, you know, I have to say that Donald Trump did, bring up this issue of the paid individuals, and it was affected. It wasn't affected yet.
Mm-hmm.
Too bad that Chris Wallace didn't follow up.
Because
we knew Hillary Clinton wasn't going to admit it unless you put her on the spot and say, what about this? You got him on video, so-and-so is saying that we paid people. Did you know about that? And, of course, she would have said, no, I didn't know about that. But that could have been very, very damaging to her.
Did you see the bill? Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, going to Julian Assange, I think because of the, first of all, he cannot communicate anymore now. His internet communication is shut down. He doesn't have access to embassy phones.
I didn't know that. He can't telephone anyone either.
That's right. So
he's a prisoner. You know what this means? They're going to drive him out.
Well, I'm not sure they're going to drive. You know, he's going to be arrested and prosecuted for sex abuse.
Alleged,
it's a trumped-up charge, probably. You know, there probably was some. You know, he's not a saint either, but he doesn't have very many choices. And I think he did get they did get direct threats to President Correa.
Oh, no question.
Kerry.
Yeah.
And
sure.
Which is strange. You know, he's a Marxist, so he's in the Russian Chinese camp. But he knows what the U.S. can do in Latin America too, in terms of cutting off trade and imports from Ecuador to the United States and other things. So. You know, the U.S. does have an awful lot of ability to twist arms. Apparently, that's what's done. So Ecuador cut off the internet, and he didn't have any way to communicate anymore.
Well, they have certainly an organization that can carry on without
Absolutely.
Direct communication, yep. so we don't worry about that. But it seems to me that if Assange wanted to address this, he would go to the window and wave. Do something. Because people are now thinking he's been rendited, he's in a coma, that Pamela Anderson brought him some kind of poisoned lunch. I mean, there's a lot of rumors running around about this.
No, I think that that's very unlikely, because then the Ecuadorian embassy would have to explain, and they know that that would be very, very embarrassing to them to explain why he died in their custody or disappeared. I think he's under house arrest, basically.
Wow.
He's got a choice. You either sit in this room and,
for the rest of your life
and behave yourself, or you walk out of here and face prosecution. And so I think that's the choice. You know, Julian Assange has shown, by succumbing to the pressure and the way that he communicated to the Berlin WikiLeaks anniversary that he is not the strong man that we think, that he, when a push comes to shove, he's a softy. You know, as long as he was riding high, he was releasing things. But I think in terms of all of these leaks, whether it's the Snowden leaks, you know, which were given to major establishment newspapers to distribute, he didn't distribute them themselves. And I think the best stuff, the most conspiratorial stuff, has been buried by any of the papers.
All right. We have 3 weeks?
Yes.
What could happen? Let's say Assange had some big stuff. Let's say there was some video out there of Hillary and Huma. If that were to be released, like the alleged video of Clinton and some woman, what could happen that would knock her out of the game?
Well, it's hard to say because, you know...
I mean, it's a silly question.
Testimony has already been released about
what are we thinking?
this woman who had a sexual relationship with Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
And it's gone nowhere. Nobody's picking the story up.
Nope, of course not.
Talk about it in the World Affairs Brief, but I'll tell you, they just really will not cover something. Now, it would have to come out, you know, independent of the media and get on YouTube. You know, YouTube is controlled, too. They'd knock it off the channel. They'd pull it. So it's hard to say with this kind of protection. I mean, Trump did make a great point, you know, that the system is rigged. And one of the best evidences is the FBI non-investigation of Hillary compared to this general. I mean, boy, he brought that up. That was to show that his campaign staff is at least seeing some of the news.
You know, I think I've got to say this, and I've said it before. I think, honestly, it's a question of style, imperial arrogance against somebody who's essentially a newcomer. The way Trump makes his points don't seem to be as dramatic. He's not a dramatic orator yet. I'm wondering if you were to really count it up like a prize fight, Joel, if Trump would not have won on points.
No, I really don't think so at all, Jeff. She had so many more specific points. When she would rattle off a litany of his sins or the offenses against people, I know we'd all heard it before, but boy, she was racking up points. So if you, on straight points, I mean, Donald Trump just simply, with two or three exceptions, just repeated the same generalized statements that he'd made in the first two debates. There was very, very little new. I just winced, you know, when I heard him, you know, talking the same pat answer. So I don't think he would win on points. I think he came across in the first 27 minutes as fairly presidential. He didn't get upset. He was, you know, his standards were fairly standard and calm in terms of the...
What did you think of him last week, walking around in the town hall format, pacing and really unloading? People liked that.
Yes, that was better, actually, because that was his style. He was aggressive. He was the tiger. He was trying to be presidential.
Yeah, I feel he was counseled. I feel he was counseled. This is your last chance to be presidential. And I could see him wanting to say something, and I could see almost imagining that his... Now, I've been told, I promised I wouldn't keep talking. I would be quiet. I promised I would hold it back. And I wish he had walked away from that podium and made that stage his own, and just acted like he was the king. I thought that town hall presentation was marvelous.
If you're going to be presidential, if you're going to be calm, you've got to have substance in what you say.
And power,
You can't be presidential and use the same one-liners that he has. You can do that pacing the floor, and they come off better than when you say them in a calm demeanor. You know, you need facts. You need to show...
He listened to somebody, Joel. He was told that was the way to do it. Yeah. This is your... And I disagree completely. I think he should have been himself. He just impressed people so much last time, I think. All right, let me go to Pence. Pence has stabbed Trump in the back for the fourth time by saying, "That white flag, we'll accept whatever happens in the election." Trump said, "No,
Yeah, and I'm glad Trump didn't fall into that.
So that's another betrayal by Pence. Four of them. And
well,
I know
sure.
I don't
Look,
like the guy.
Globalist. He is a globalist and a neocon.
Absolutely.
He's playing
yes, he
Trump
is.
To a certain extent. But, you know, he was playing the more politically correct way of saying, yes, of course, we'll abide by the things. And, you know, before
Was
Trump
it his place to speak for Trump, though, on that?
Well, no, I think that was the standard answer. I think it was actually the correct way to go. He wouldn't have dared said, no, we won't, without mm-hmm. Trump having spoken first. Because
Well, he could have said,
true.
Well, like Trump, he said, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, but what I'm just saying is, when you're going to take the hardline stand, you got to wait for Trump to do that first. Take the generic, yes, of course, we'll accept. And even Ivanka Trump said, yes, he'll accept.
I'm a surprised. Yeah.
The stance. But that made Trump's even better. I mean, this was one of the highlights, him denying that the Russians were involved and saying, no, I'm going to analyze it when it happens. And that was the correct way. I don't think it was as negative, although every headline about the debate highlights that statement. Trump will not accept the results of this election.
Yeah.
That's not what he's
done. I'm not convinced that he's getting the best counseling and advice. I never have.
No, I'm absolutely positive. That's why I went to Alex Jones, who claims to Roger Stone that he has access to Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And he does. He's got him on, and he's interviewed him. I said, look, if you care for Trump, you know, get us a meeting with him. Get three of us who really know what's going on inside government, and get him and give us 2 hours, and we can change the direction of Trump's election if he's sincere.
Yeah.
And it didn't happen, and that's because Roger Stone doesn't have access, and therefore Alex Jones didn't have access.
Oh, yeah, but Alex is... Whatever. It's too bad you didn't get a chance to talk to him. Well, we've got 3 weeks left. We'll see. Other things are going to happen. Allegedly, the man in the Enquirer, the National Enquirer, who has decided to go public with his, 30 years of procuring women and men for Hillary and all the rest of it.
That's a powerful statement, except that it's the Enquirer, but I think it rings true.
Oh, I do too. And if he brings that stuff forward, that's going to be a true blockbuster. He's got decades of notes, diaries, record books. This is going to be, I hope he's got his life insurance paid up.
Yeah, it could be a death sentence, too. Because remember, there are, 90-some-odd people that the handlers have killed. You know, there's a story in the news about the shadow government on the 7th floor of the State Department. And if I read through that, because, I know as an expert on the dark side of government and conspiracy, it's not a little group of five people on the 7th floor that is the shadow government. That's just somebody's title for it.
Uh-huh.
But in the same emails, they talked about a very key point, that Samuel Blumenthal, the long-term confidant of Hillary Clinton, that the CIA had purged out of the emails that the State Department, all of the emails from Samuel Blumenthal, because he was revealing CIA secrets to Hillary Clinton. He was the liaison.
Right.
And what that meant is that Samuel Blumenthal is one of her handlers from the dark side of government. And that mere fact, nobody has a direct line to the CIA unless you're part of the direct, the dark side of government and going before, puppets like Hillary Clinton.
Right.
Somebody like Henry Kissinger or Strobe Talbot or Brent Scowcroft who are running the dark side of government. She's a front lady.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they pay her these $250,000 per speech to keep our front lady in business. But, she doesn't know the whole game plan either. I've always said, the conspiracy really doesn't like Hillary because she is so arrogant and has so many problems and is vulnerable. But they've got handlers around these people. And that email, it wasn't the shadow government part of that leak, FBI leak. It was the one about Sammy Blumenthal, in my opinion.
Huh. Well, they had her pharmacologically pumped up again.
Boy, did she. And look what they did with Botox to her face.
Yes.
She's got wrinkles galore, and there was not a wrinkle to be seen.
No, that's another
that
court
state.
They put in there. And it's truly amazing. She's a wonder.
Yeah. That's why she was out for 3 days preparing for this thing.
She's a fright to look at in reality. She looks
that's
like...
Right.
It's not to age shame anybody. We get old. She looks like a little old 70-year-old lady without all this Botox. And there are pictures of her. I mean, she doesn't. Whatever. I guess you can just do, you know, whatever you can do, you do. And that's what they're doing. Okay, anything we've missed here? I think you've done a really good job covering it. I don't know that this shouldn't cause the polls to move much. I just don't see it.
No, unfortunately, it won't help Donald Trump at all, in my opinion. I'm really afraid that this isn't looking good. I know Alex Jones keeps saying the real polls show that Trump is way ahead. I think he's closer than the establishment would like, because they wouldn't be fighting so hard to try to destroy him if it weren't.
No, it's a dead giveaway that they're concerned. You bet. They're concerned about something.
I think it is closer, but this is very telling. When you have a candidate as flawed as Donald Trump, with this level of popularity, despite all of these attacks, I mean, you would think a normal politician would just be crucified and would resign.
Uh-huh.
But he's got such a solid 40% of the American people that are so against the establishment that it just isn't going away. In fact, NPR was spending a considerable amount of airtime talking about the fact that what's going to happen, you know, after the election, when Donald Trump loses, is this going to go away? And both of them, David Brooks and Mark Shields, said, "No, we're afraid this isn't going. This is a permanent constituency that hates."
He's talking about a major television. Rumors about a major television network, Trump TV, something like that, which would make a real Fox TV like Fox used to be.
Well, if I could trust Trump to get the right information, but I can't. I mean, if he can't get the right advisors, you know, to get him the correct...
He's somebody's... You're right.
How can he run a good television station, you know, that exposes things in a credible manner?
Well, you got Newt Gingrich saying, be presidential. Be presidential. And then there other people are saying, well, you've got to be yourself. And then the guy doesn't know what the hell to do. I don't know. I just thought the town hall was great.
It's clear to me, Jeff, he doesn't have any patience to be trained or changed. He is locked into his personality, and he will not sit down and memorize. He's going to run off the hill, read a teleprompter, but he will not memorize. He will not learn.
Look how he did at the town hall, though.
He wasn't memorizing. He doesn't learn.
Yeah.
He had a few things in his head, but he was running. It was his style that hit it. I could have picked apart the specifics of what he was saying.
Well, that's the part that people like, I think. They like the rogue Donald Trump. They don't want a packaged, buttoned-down Donald Trump.
I understand, but you still have to have the package of substance to run the presidency.
I agree.
And that's what I'm worried about, is I don't see him learning the substance.
Well,
if he hasn't
we still have no. We have no choice. We have no.
I understand.
We vote Trump. That's it.
Absolutely.
And
there's no other choice. Our goal, we must stop Hillary if there's any possible at all, because it's over for us. I mean, we're going to see inroads into the Second Amendment, the First Amendment, free speech. You're going to see internet censorship.
Yeah, we're going to see hundreds of thousands of black Somalians here with their 65 IQs and their rape gangs. And I'm not joking. It's going to happen here. Europe is being decimated by this stuff.
It's interesting. My son and daughter just got back from Europe. They're both fluent in German. They were in Austria.
Right.
And they were just, you know, and they know some very good people there, mild-mannered mainstream people and things. And they just have bought into this propaganda about the right wing. Of course, there's the Freedom Party there in Austria, which nearly won the election. It won the preliminary. But then the others ganged up against it to defeat it.
Did they lose again?
Yeah.
You
know, the establishment controls all of these countries, and there's rebellion afoot. But he came back just very, very discouraged, because these are very intelligent people, but literally, they don't listen to the alternative media there in Europe as much as they do, as we do here in the United States. They very much still listen to a lot of the mainstream news, and it was very sad to see them be pro-refugee and wondering why we can't help them. And
you mean he ran into people over there that were pro-refugee?
Yeah, I mean, just soft people.
And their whole history and culture are being destroyed, and they're pro-refugee. Unbelievable.
You know, he tried to make some points with them on that, but you could just see their eyes glaze over.
Wow.
They didn't want to hear it. They just do that as right-wing stuff. But, I mean, the Western world has like a suicide pact. You know, they're self-destroying themselves. They don't know how to defend or see what this cultural... There is. You can't celebrate diversity. There are certain things in diversity. They're so diverse, they will never cause anything but conflict.
Well, this is the death of nationalism. It's what it is.
Yes.
One by one by one. Joel, thank you again. Get some rest. We appreciate it, and we'll talk soon. Thanks.
Great job, Jim.
All righty. Good night. Well, okay. I think we take away from this the fact that Trump was given bad advice. He should have completely gone the same path that he did last debate, town hall. And I do think he made a lot of very good points. But I think the style was what just captivated people last time. Him walking, him basically just being himself. And we didn't see that tonight. So, okay, we'll have to wait and see what happens. 3 weeks left, and a lot of things are due to break. And we'll be there for you to cover it. Thanks for being here tonight. Take care. Talk tomorrow.